chest, speaking with your mouth. Bothering kings is what we're talking about. From Mars to the V-Block, everybody shout. L-A-L-A, big city of dreams. But everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled by those other guys in town, but we're down by law. We know our way around too much.
L.A. is your house. This is episode 328. I'm here with David and Lewis.
Hey!
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And this is Bobby, and we're back from another week. This time, an away game, a win by the LA Galaxy against Vancouver. 3-1, guys. A late rally for a big win. Big 3 points. I think I read that it was the first time that the first time in MLS history that there was three national Japanese players on the pitch for an MLS game.
Yep.
And this was also the first away game that I think all of us were able to watch live together. Not together, but we're able to actually text each other without spoiling anything.
This season.
Really? Was it the first one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the other ones, like either, I know Kansas City, we were watching together, but I came in late. And I think that you guys didn't think that I was watching live at the time. And then there was, what was the other one? The other road game, Nashville. No, Bobby was not there for LAFC? Nashville. Maybe LAFC.
I had to watch that late.
Oh, Bobby.
No, that's right. That yeah.
See, Lewis and I were watching it.
Yeah.
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 Wait, did we watch that together in person?
No. I was at a watch party. You were at Mia's thing.
Oh, that's right. Oh, it was the week before. We're watching the Dodger game. That's right.
Yes. That's right. Completely different sport.
Yeah.
those rat bastards.
But yeah, let's talk about Galaxy. So,
hold on. Before we talk about the Galaxy, can I really quick? Oh, yeah. Let you guys know that the 1-2 Threads pop-up was this past weekend at Common Space Brewery. This was the first pop-up that I've attended at Common Space. Super cool place. Really, really cute. Really big area. Like a lot of space to spread out inside, outside. We happened to get there about 5 to 10 minutes before a complete downpour. I mean, biblical rain, dude. We were helping set up one of the food stations, and we were pretty much flooded out. Like we had to get like the squeegee mop to like push the water out of there because we were pretty much soaked. And then after about 10 minutes of complete biblical downpour, gone, sunny day. So thankfully it was right before everybody started arriving, but as these events always seem to go, it was full, a lot of people, a lot of community, a lot of people supporting each other's stuff. I came home with a big metal shield from DeviantArt. Designs, I think, was our buddy Moises, who's a huge Galaxy fan and does a lot of cool art. He does the tailgate covers as well. I don't know if you guys have seen those, the things you put on the back of the truck, where the little trailer hitch goes. Just a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool merch. It was a great event. Thankfully, the rain did not come back. But we were inside anyway, so it was a good time. And Common Space has some really nice brews. I got a little drunk. their Chubby Unicorn, which is like a guava IPA. Oh my god, amazing!
Why do I think that's a nickname for you, David?
A Chubby Unicorn. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, the old you.
You know what's funny? Okay, Andrew. Andrew told me, he's like, why is it that the mythical creature is a horse with a horn on his head and not the leopard, the giant leopard cow with a 7-foot neck? because one is actually real.
I know, but I'm saying, if you were to describe those two things, which would you think the mythical creature was?
I mean,
no, the giraffe, right? Come on.
I mean, I get it, but like, it's not called a leopard long neck, you know, whatever the hell you just said. There's actually a name for a giraffe.
A leopard cow with a 7-foot neck. Anyway, let's get to the game, guys. Come on. Enough of this messing around. Bobby, let's talk about Vancouver Galaxy.
Yeah, let's do it. Lewis?
Oh, it's up to me. So the Galaxy, after coming off a loss, their first loss of the season against their arch rival, the big question was, how do they respond going into Vancouver, who was currently in, at the time after their loss, first place, leapfrogging the Galaxy? How do they respond going into BC place? The answer is very well. Very well, as the Galaxy were able to get a resounding 3-1 victory on the road. It was obviously not a complete, beautiful performance. The first half, the Galaxy absolutely dominated possession, but couldn't do anything with it. I think they only got like two chances. One of them was half a chance. The only real good chance they had.
Post two?
No, that was the second half.
Okay.
Peck's shot, Peck's curler was the only real shot that the Galaxy had any sort of chance in the first half. It was it took a good save, and that was pretty much it. Nothing else happening for the Galaxy, despite the fact that at one point, and we're talking 20 minutes in, so about halfway into the first half. And the Galaxy held an 85-15% possession edge, which is crazy to think that any team on any professional level can have that type of an edge. But it looked like Vancouver was very much content giving the Galaxy the ball. And for an entire half, it seemed to be working because the Galaxy just could not once again penetrate the low block. I found it a little bit odd because I kind of felt that the low block that LAFC and Nashville were implemented in their games was a lot stingier than what I saw from Vancouver. And I could be wrong on that. And I felt that they gave the Galaxy a little bit more space, kind of dared them. But the Galaxy just didn't take them up on that offer. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not seeing something. Or maybe I did see something that really wasn't there. But they finally break through in the second half of a tap-in openetter by Ovlich, who, you know, seems to be the theme this season. Doesn't matter. They all count the same. And from that point on, Vancouver gets back into the game because, well, now we have to go score, right? We can't just lose this game. We can't sit back anymore. We can't give the ball to the Galaxy for 85% of the time. So they pinned the Galaxy on the ropes a little bit. And surprise, surprise, off a corner kick, they get their goal. And after that, it's all Galaxy the rest of the way. Let's talk about the first half first. Thoughts on the first half, guys? Talk to me.
Frustrating?
I mean, you basically said it. So they had possession of the ball. They showed good movement. But they couldn't get into the last attacking third. They couldn't penetrate any passes. So they couldn't finish.
Yeah.
Incredibly frustrating. It echoes many of the games where you get frustrated until like, you know, the release. Giggity.
What? That was very un-Bobby-like.
That was extremely
un-Bobby-like. I know you did. I mean, I get it. And people would expect me to say that, which is really...
My brain was like, should I say it? Or should I make should I do a different word? And I'm like, I'm going to do it for Lewis.
Yeah. it was flawless.
If you go back to it, you could hear me rattle back and forth in my brain. Like,
I mean, like, I mean,
the cobwebs are clearing.
Diggity. Diggity. I mean, compared to what Bobby usually says, and mostly in Balls and Beers, this is one of the more tamer, like, innuendos that he could have came up with, because he usually says, well, I think the Galaxy are going to come pretty hard all over St. Louis.
Because I'm never trying when I say those things.
I mean, that's a giggity moment right there. This one was kind of like, sure, but I just didn't really think of it.
Like, oh, you know, Galaxy's leaving a bad taste in my mouth, my face, my neck, and my chest all over.
I've never said that. Wow.
Sometimes it feels that way. Oh, but wait, hold on a second. Hold on. I'll take that back. I guarantee you felt that way on that Ricky Pooch pass.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more on the Painsill speed at the 80 what minute?
Dude,
I'm just like, how are you still doing that?
I was, that was okay. When we get to the second half, we'll talk about that. But that was my first reaction, and then my second reaction was, why are you still doing that right now? Yes. Put Johnny Perez in there, man. It's over.
Before all of that, I was actually like, dude, just like I knew we didn't have the game in the bag yet. It was but I was just like, this guy needs rest, man. Yeah. I don't want to run this guy down. I was getting really frustrated.
Every time he was gunning for it, I'm like, please let his hamstrings be okay. Please let his hamstrings be okay.
But he's amazing. He's amazing. The
endurance.
He can catch. He can catch up to a ball that's insanely out of everybody's reach. Like, it's crazy. It's good. It's beautiful. But yeah, the first half is just, basically that. I can't say anything good or bad. I mean, look, Peck is doing much better. The more minutes he plays with the team, I'm liking it a little bit better. It's not perfect yet, of course, but nothing's ever going to be perfect. But except for Painsill. But still.
You and I.
But yeah, I mean, look, it was... It's not. I can't be too negative, but it's of course something like you want a cherry on top. You want your cake. You want your cake and you want to eat it too. You want the gold.
Did you guys watch the video that I sent you guys Vanni Sartini giving the speech to the pregame or the halftime speech to Vancouver? He was saying,
I don't think so.
I sent you guys both the thing. It was because in the video he's telling his team, you can never achieve perfection. That's not possible, but you can always strive.
Oh, yes, perfect. Yes, yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And so that's what I think we're striving for from the Galaxy fan perspective as well. Like, yes, there's always going to be something that we're going to find, that we're going to call out. For me, even though in this game, second game in a row, I'm saying this about him. I thought that John McCarthy was pretty good, but God damn it, did he scare the crap out of me.
Yeah. Oh my God. How did he save that? How did he freaking
insane recovery save, right? He loses the ball. He messes up. He loses the ball outside the box. He has to sprint back into the box. Yep. The guy takes, I don't know why the guy took so damn long to shoot. I think it's just right. Because the guy didn't he thought it was an easy goal. Right. And McCarthy gets back enough to recover, get in the way, and block the shot. My God.
My God. Yeah.
In the box with his hands, or he outstretched his hands. I don't think he actually hit his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a game that the Galaxy win 3-1. And we're gonna knit the picks. We're gonna pick the nits on this team, because I think, we can always strive to improve upon a performance. I thought the first half, of course, was very frustrating. Like I said, I thought that Pooj was getting wasn't getting the ball until he was like almost parallel to Yamane and Yoshida, which is insane to me. The way the backline set up in this game was interesting too, because it seemed like Gassidis got pushed way up
to the left. Like, he was almost playing left back. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago.
High now. Yeah, they all move so high now.
And I'm like, where is Oude at all in this?
And then he's over by the box crossing the ball or something.
Right? We talked about this a few weeks ago about possibly pushing Gassadis out to outside back, and we said, you know, we don't think that he's got the legs to really get up and down the field the way that Aude does, obviously. But we kind of saw a little bit of what maybe like a three-man back line looks like for this team with Yamane, Yoshida, and Gassadis in manning that back line, leaving Aude to just go way up. And I think that's a lot of that is in part. We saw that early in the game because they put Peck and Paintsill on the right side to try and overload that right side, which I think kind of works. I would like it to work better, but I feel like they're still kind of like feeling each other out. And it leaves Puj way out on the left, and he was getting in. He was coming down way too deep to receive the ball from them, and that felt disconnected from Paintsill and Peck. So I think once Puj gets more central in that setup, I think that could be really devastating. But that's also why Aude is so far up the field. That's why you pretty much just have Jovalik. I also thought Jovalik was disconnected during that time that Paintsill and Peck were on the same side.
He got absolutely no service. I think I had read somewhere that like his first touch was in the second half, and it was the goal. Yeah, which is pretty crazy to me. Yes, 68 exactly. Minutes. Yes, exactly.
No, and no, it no, was sorry, basically sorry, sorry. Not his first touch. His first touch in the box.
Oh, maybe, okay. That's probably what it was
in the box because he did have touches outside.
Yes, that's right.
For stuff, he came back for stuff. But yes. it was one of those games where he was having to try and find the game again, like Puj coming way far down to receive the ball and then try to combine. But at that point, you let Peck and Paintsill run at the defense or try to combine with each other. And yeah, that led to a lot of frustration. I think it wasn't until Brugman came out of the game and they brought in Surreal where it sort of like equalized itself. And then it led to what seemed like more balance, but it was also one of those situations I feel like where Vancouver was like dead from chasing the ball around from the Galaxy because they had it something like 80-something% in the first half.
It was so at the end of the first half, it was officially 75-25, but as I said, it went as high as 85-15, and that was about 20 minutes in. So there was a lot of possession from the Galaxy. There was just no bite to them. In the first half. So one of the things that you touched on was, you know, we saw the 3-5-2, we saw 3-4-3 as well. We saw different formations. I think this is a luxury that Vanny now has thanks to Paintsill, thanks to Peck, thanks to Fagundes, and obviously Yamane and Aude that can basically be used as wingbacks if they needed to do that. I think like the X factor, like the game changers coming off the bench, it's going to be the trio of like Fagundes, Surreal, and then you kind of start shifting formations any way you can in there, right? After that is kind of where you're like, you have like the drop off, like, okay, so who else can we sub in? You know, we got Barry. It's probably not going to do too much. We have, you know, Aguirre was not going to do too much. You have Perez or, you know, whoever else where you're like, okay, they're probably in there just kind of filling a void and just kind of getting some garbage time or just, you know, whatever. But those first two subs, whether it's Fagundes and Surreal, those are the two that are really going to make a difference. And you can kind of switch formations, right? You can kind of switch Paintsill, you can switch them around, put them on the right, put them, you know, you can put Peck on the right, you can put him back on the left. You can, once Fagundes comes in, you can shift the formation one more time. And you have Fanny has all these options at his disposal thanks to his, you know, the players that he now has that seem obviously more dynamic than other players were that were playing with us. So you kind of see that like switch around, which is why you kind of load stuff on the right. Then all of a sudden, well, once you get adjusted to that, you go, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and switch back because guess what? These players can be effective. We're kind of playing them out of position right now. So there is kind of a chess-like strategy here where you're kind of playing the long game. In the second half, when Vancouver starts to get into the game because they need to go look for the game now, they can no longer sit back. They have to find a goal. The Galaxy, I had said that, you know, that they might be on the ropes. Like, they're going to have to defend a little bit. They have to get the ball back. They haven't gotten the ball back. I think they got a little bit too comfortable, and all of a sudden now they have to adjust. Hey, Vancouver's going forward. We're going to have to defend this, and it took them a while. And a couple people on Twitter, and I think Alex Ruiz said it as well, they even said the rope-a-dope. I said I had said, hey, they're on the ropes right now. They're going to have to regain control of this game. And the rope-a-dope came up. If this was by design, and obviously I don't know this, but if this was a design by Vanny and the team to say, I'm going to go ahead and invite you in and dare you to score on us or dare you to open up a little bit more and kind of act like we're chasing the game, only to come out and just, yeah, I'm just going to score a couple more goals and just put this away. Like immediately after, A, that's a hell of a chess game you're playing. And B, that's a hell of a lot of confidence coming from that squad. And I think that it's B. I have said it before that this team can practically score at will. When they want to, they're going to score. And so far, for the majority of the season,
it took them a long time to want to score.
I don't think they didn't really
want to score in the first half at all.
It just looked like.
I don't think it's a will thing. I think it's like once they find the seams, right. They found the seams.
Right, and I think it's again if you're kind of like just like. Feeling the team out, prodding, and just kind of, and I don't think this was the case for the first half. I mean, I generally do believe that they're trying to, like, you know, penetrate the defense and they couldn't do it. But if this is like where you're playing the long game, like, fine, obviously we're not winning anything in the first half. You can be up 2-0, you still got to finish, right? You can easily lose the game 3-2. Look at Kansas City, right? So you can easily let the second half slip away. I don't think this is a case of, I'm going to play the long game. I'm just going to pretend to hang around the first half, not score, only to come back in the second half. I do, however, think that this is a case like, hey, if I'm moving the ball back and forth and I'm trying to, like, get you out of position and you're adjusting to, like, oh, this is the way we're playing, and all of a sudden you switch formations and you switch gears, that might be a hell of a tactic. And again, mm-hmm. I think Vanny has that at his disposal this year with Paintsil and Peck and Fagundes able to swap positions. And then with Puig, kind of just, okay, I can go anywhere in the midfield. If I have the freedom to roam anywhere I want in the midfield, then Puig can, like, you know, see that. And obviously they're practicing this, right? They know very well when they want to change things up and pounce once they see something. I think that this is playing the long game here. And again, if this is the case, and I obviously don't have that much proof of it, again, you have to credit Danny here. And you're like, hey, you know what? This may not show results in the first 45 minutes, but we're not winning the game in the first 45. We're in the 90th. So somewhere in the 60th, 70th, 80th, when they're already kind of in a lull, when they feel they've got a good handle on this, guess what? We're switching it up. We're going a different formation. We're going a different route. And all of a sudden, guess what? Those seams seem to be parting. Now you can go back and say, well, no, because it didn't work against LAFC. Right. I get it. Like, it's not going to work 100% of the time, and it's not, and you're going to lose. Like, it's just inevitable that's going to happen. We talked about it. But overall, so far, they're the second highest scoring team in the league, only behind Miami, I think, by 2 goals, which is what separates the Galaxy from being in first place in the Supporters Shield race. They're second. Behind only by goal scored, if I recall correctly, and then behind 2. So this team, the offense is there, And I feel like they could score at any time. And I've said it in the past, they just need one goal to get this thing started. Like, I don't count this team out.
I'm not so sure about the rope-a-dope, the whole super positivity that Vanny is doing these games.
I don't know that either. In that
fashion. It may be, and this more reality-based, is that when Payne Till first came in, we saw the versatility of how he likes to move on the left and to the right side. When we got Peck, we saw the versatility. And in many of those games, we were down, and Vanny had to do something. And because he had these new players that were able to be very dynamic on both sides, or even just be creative and come in and play kind of their own game in their own way on the field, it was more of a blessing, I believe, for him. I don't think it was much of a, oh, yeah, I have this master plan, and then, you know, now I'm going to make these teams feel like they have a chance, and then come back in.
You know? Yeah, no,
no. I'm very sorry, but I'm going to have to go on that. But yes, he's starting to recognize that this is what he has now, and he's I'm pretty sure that is going to be incredibly beneficial in the long end of the season. And even moving into playoffs, I think it's going to be really great. And then now we're seeing, you know, how impactful our subs can be. Cirillo, he started out as a starter most of these games of the season so far. But and then Fagundes, he's incredibly impactful when he comes in. It looks good so far. Let's stay healthy. But I think Vanny is learning his team as the games pass, and he's recognizing and being smart about it. But it's still not good enough yet, because this team cannot score at will. Because if they could, we would be much higher and we would be killing all the teams we play, which we're not. We'll see. They have they do have the skill level. Like David says, when they do find the open spaces or seams, they do penetrate and they make you pay for it. And once that's open, at this moment, it doesn't seem like any team can close it up or stop it.
Yeah.
But we can't depend on that kind of play, even if it's a tactic. Because it's going to bite us in the ass no matter what.
I just don't think anybody has
bit us a little bit in the ass. But I also don't like the fact that, like, they got to get punched in the mouth if they really want to start trying. Because I feel like that's really when things got ratcheted up, is when we got scored on.
Yeah, I mean, they have that chip on their shoulder now when they're like, whenever they go down, they're like, ah, damn it, you know?
Yeah.
And they come in at
and they come back with the vengeance.
They throw in an extra gear, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I feel like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we saw this in, if I recall, the 2014 team kind of had something similar where, like, you were in a lull for a long period of the time, and all of a sudden you got scored on, and they hold on a second. I'm going to just kick this into another gear, and all of a sudden the game was over. I want to say 2014 was like that. And you know, you're kind of seeing this as well, where, like, you're, as of right now, you haven't really been outplayed in any of the games that you've played. I don't see the Galaxy like you got outplayed. You might have got outcoached. I think you got outcoached against LAFC, and you couldn't beat a strategy that was seen, but, you know, a mile away. And, you know, you didn't play your best game, and some credit goes to the other team. But at the same time, it's like, dude, you got to do something a little bit different. And we didn't really see it. However, I still feel like, dude, we've never been out of a game. We've always been within striking distance, and you just can't count this team out. I mean, you don't go down 2-0, win 3-2 and say you can't score at will. You can't say, you know, oh, we just got scored on and respond immediately.
But you can, because it's in the late minutes. You have a tired team that's been defending the majority of the time.
But so are we.
You can.
But so are we.
But as you can see by the footage, that we are that with Painsill, even in the 80th or 90th minute, that dude's going to outrun any guy just as a game.
Right. I get that, but if we can score at will,
like Lewis, if we can score at will, why aren't we scoring at will? You know, why are we starting the game off by scoring? I don't think that.
Okay, maybe it's the wrong phrase. Maybe if it's not taking too little.
Score and in bunches, I think is probably
or the ability is
bunches.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's what it is. Like if they get one, they're going to get more than
goals at the Whole Foods in bunches.
yeah, they were on sale.
I just think maybe not at will, but this team is definitely capable of scoring at any time without having to say, oh my God, like, how could we possibly score, right? This isn't teams where we're like, dude, this is a very anemic and impotent attack. It isn't. It is very much not. Now, you might have patches where it seems that way. Like, the entire first half really did seem like, oh my God, like, there is just no bite here. But at no point did I say, well, there's no way we're scoring. We can't break that line. We haven't broken in 45 minutes. We haven't even been close. We're not breaking this. Like, no. Like, at some point, they're going to figure it out. They've proven it time and time again. Again, the only time they didn't do it was against LAFC game. And through eight games, if that's your only loss, dude, I'm fine with that. Because at this moment, you are playing pretty consistent. You're not playing your best. And I think that's also encouraging to me. If we're currently in first place in the Western Conference, tied for first, well, officially second, but you're tied for the league leader in points, and you haven't hit your stride yet? Holy crap. Because I don't think this team has hit their stride. They have not hit their ceiling. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
To think that you are in first place and, yeah, we still got some kinks to figure out here.
Yeah.
And you haven't gotten – and let's be honest here. We did not get a cupcake schedule. We all said this is a tough schedule. The first 10 games is a tough schedule.
It was a tough schedule.
I get it.
We were assuming that we were bad.
Well, we were
looking at and the other teams were better. Looking at it now
– much better.
Yeah.
It's easier. I mean, Josh has said this in his show. It's like when you're bad, every game is tough. Doesn't matter who you play. And if you're good, every game is easy. I don't think the games were easy. And I don't think we all thought that we were going to suck. We just had no idea. That was an issue. We honestly had no idea what this team was going to be because we couldn't even get that genuine indication during preseason because our DPs weren't there. Brookman was injured. Puj was injured. Painsill hadn't arrived yet. Peck hadn't arrived yet. We did not see what this team was going to look like at the in the preseason. Then the season starts and you're like, oh crap. Okay. Didn't see that coming. At least not yet. But this looks good. And at some point we're kind of like, can they keep this up? So far the answer is yes. There have been some hiccups, and even when they hiccuped, guess what? You've only lost one game out of those hiccups. Again, I don't think this team has hit their stride, and you're still up at the top. And for what it's worth, I don't think we looked at these games and said, we're going to win. I mean, against San Jose, yeah. But I don't think we're going to go in there and say, yeah, we're going to beat Vancouver up there. We all kind of acknowledge this is a tough game. We all said, okay, we can beat LAFC on the road. I don't fear them right now, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we all, yes, 100% guaranteed it was going to happen. I think all of the games have been like, it's a winnable game, and you certainly can win them, but will it happen is a different story.
Well, look, here's the thing. You did hit the point that, you know, within the preseason, we were pretty much watching a different team. And then when we first got their debut in Miami, we were incredibly surprised at how well we played against Miami. But here's the thing, dude. I know you're very positive on this team right now, and I am too, but there needs to be a little bit of dose of reality because in many of these games, we didn't play that well. And a lot of the games, we also fought back to get in the game or get the win in the game. And I think there was only two games that we came back to get a win in the game. And that was only SKC and last week with Vancouver. but we drew with Nashville.
We didn't even have to come back against Vancouver. We were ahead. We lost the lead, and then we took the lead again. We never had to come from behind. Giggity.
Either way, it takes too long for the team to actually perform. Now, given that, for sure, it's still the beginning. Like, this team is learning each other as we go. The first 4 or 5 games was with Cirillo, and now Brugman is starting to start. You know, Peck has just finally came in, what, 4 games ago as a starter, maybe 3-4 starting. You know, they're still learning each other. So even when you say this isn't their ceiling yet, and it's like, dude, we're not even midway. Like, they're not even that good yet right now. Like, yes, it's awesome to see them be awesome when they are awesome. But when you're evaluating this team within the full 90 minutes, there's a lot that needs to be fixed and repaired. And there still needs to be everybody gelling and things, you know, and it's going to get there. Like, as I said earlier on, as long as we stay healthy, you know, Jalen's coming back. I think he's already on his way back.
We're going to get Garces.
And then, you know, hopefully we could stay healthy when we need the veterans to be back there and make smart decisions. You know, it's looking really, really good. But I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass and say that we've been incredible this season so far, because we have not. We've done incredible things. We've made incredible goals. We've done things that make us, the fan base, super happy and falling in love with our players. I mean, there's, you know, everybody has love for, you know, Yoshida and Puj and Paintsill, and, you know, it's a full team where everybody's like digging everybody right now. It's a fun time, but we're not even in the middle ground of what this team should be right now yet. Once they get into that gear, I'll be very happy, but that means making sure that they can actually score at will in the beginning of the first half. With whichever problems that they're dealing with defensively by the other team, they need to be a little smarter than that. And then, you know, and then maintain the game and close out. You know, I'll be really happy when that goes on. But the thing is, I don't want to look back and be like, oh, we barely made it. I know we're in first place, but like a lot of these games, we barely get there. We barely make it because we have to come back or we get the draw. You know, or we bear at home when we won Seattle, that was a very long, droll game that we barely got a goal in and barely got out of that game. So I just want to get a little bit of dose of reality. I love this team. It's really great. I'm super excited. I feel like they are going to get there to where they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. I mean, they are right now, of course, officially. But I mean, performance wise on the field and like kind of. Showtimey kind of things, because I think I said it in the beginning of the season. I go, this team feels very Showtime. I think I said it in Miami, maybe, but
yeah, you did. Miami. Yeah. You did. You know what I mean? I remember you saying that. Yes.
So yeah. So yeah. That's where I stand. I love the team.
So let me ask you guys this, because I know we've touched on this very briefly, and obviously it's been a topic since week number one, which is kind of funny, but we've mentioned it. We've very, very lightly touched on it. We never really got in depth. And I'm going to ask this because there's been, which is wild to me, that while the team is playing well and in first place, that Galaxy fans are arguing over it, which is, I mean, it's a really, really weird mountain to even be on. Right. On. I mean, I get it. I mean, I get that it's Twitter, and I get that it's Galaxy Twitter. Let me put that out there.
But there's fans out there that don't want to give it super positive notes just yet. You know, the ceiling for them, they haven't passed it yet. Like, you know, it's like they don't feel comfortable just yet.
And I think that is half a defense mechanism as well. You're trying to protect yourself from what they think is impending doom, because that's what we've been used to for the past, you know, 8 years. So I completely understand that part. Let me ask you guys this, because I said I don't think we've actually really dove into this.
Uh-huh.
are we back? I'm not going to ask you guys, are we back? I want to know because the criteria here is...
Kleshton said it.
Is, okay, and I'm going to get to that, but the criteria is, we're not even sure what that is. Like, are we back, like, are we back at the mountaintop where we left off in 2014 no. before the Klein era? Is it, are we back, like, we put ourselves in a hole and we are now out of the hole and, okay, guys, we're back. We're not down there anymore. We're back. I mean, what exactly is the criteria that we're talking about? And second, are we back?
No, we're climbing. That's about as much as I'm going to give it. We're not back until we're lifting the cup. Like that, nobody can say the Galaxy is back until we're lifting that cup. But we're definitely climbing. We're on our way to the top. Whether we get there or not, it's, you know, remains to be seen. But I think that it's definitely, you know, a positive thing.
Bobby, are we back? And what is your criteria?
Well, are we back? I believe that it's still way too early. Just as I've been, my last monologue went on about mm-hmm. how I still don't think the team is even at mid-range right now of what they can achieve. Are we back in the way of like, are we back as the best team of MLS? Well, technically, yeah, right now, yeah. but you know, but I don't think we are just yet. That's a measure of where I agree with David is let's have that cup rise above our heads. And after that, I'd be like, yeah, we're back. Are we back as the LA team of LA? No, not many people still don't really think of Galaxy as the main LA team anymore. So we're not back in that way either. Are we back to performance wise? We're getting there. I mean, it's much better than last year. I mean that's a major measure, but the what we see on the field is a lot more interesting and it's a lot more fun to watch. Even though there is been many minutes of frustration still this season. But that's just football, man. So in overall, we are not back. It's too early. But it could be there. We could get there. But it depends. Are we back MLS Cup? Yes. But are we back as like the main LA team? I don't know. That comes to see. We
got okay. Play. So for me, I don't think we're back either. I 100% understand why a majority of fans would say we're not back until we lift the cup. I want to play devil's advocate to that criteria because – as I said, I completely understand why. Because when you think of the Galaxy, you think of championships. And you think of the old Galaxy teams, the expectation was always it's MLS Cup or bust. That was always the expectation. It was never, yep. Just make the playoffs. Oh my God, just please just make the playoffs. Even if it's the ninth seed, we make the playoffs. And if you did make the playoffs, oh, please just make it to the Western Conference Final. See, our expectations were so down in the dumps that was our ceiling, and that's a problem. The only the issue that I have with saying that we can't say we're back until we lift the cup is once that if hypothetically the Galaxy were to win MLS Cup this year, and everyone says we're back, no, we were always there. You just want to say it now because again, your defense mechanism. I don't want to say we're back and then all of a sudden we start losing and turns out we're really not back and I'm kind of not bracing myself for disappointment here. I think that has a lot to do with it. Between 1996 and 2016, we did not win every MLS Cup. We didn't. So you can't really say that we win championships all the time. We won 5 out of those 20 years. It's still high, but for me, the criteria for me kind of plays into it. Obviously, you do all this to win a cup. But let me spit out some facts about the Galaxy right now. And everyone is aware of this. But let me go ahead and spit out some facts and tell you where I stand with what my criteria is. At the moment, the Galaxy are in first place in the Western Conference. They are tied for the league lead in points at 15. could be in first place in the Supporters' Shield if it wasn't for goal scored. I believe that is what the current tiebreaker between Miami and the Galaxy are. 19 goals scored for Miami, 17 for the Galaxy. They both have a goal differential of +5, so goal scored is currently the tiebreaker. The Galaxy have a game on hand on Miami, so they can leapfrog into first place in the Supporters' Shield race. They currently have the best road record in the league. They have the most road wins in the league. They currently have, mind you, 8 games in, and people are talking MVP about Painsill. We have an MVP candidate in Painsill in April. We have another MVP caliber player. MVP caliber player in Puig. Our striker is tied for first in the Golden Boot race. We are the most talked about team currently in the league. We are the most dynamic team, or one of the most dynamic teams in the league. We are also one of the more fun teams to watch.
And despite
all of this, not one up until yesterday, in a very subtle sentence, not one person has said anywhere the Galaxy are favored to win the MLS Cup. Not one. That is my criteria.
Exactly. So early. Nobody should be favored to win MLS Cup.
No. I get this, but you look back at old Galaxy.
Something stupid's gonna happen. Like Dallas is gonna win MLS Cup. Come on.
No. The point that I'm trying to make is every year you guys
you're talking about the respect, Lewis. You're talking about is the Galaxy
I'm talking back about
to being respected in the league as a legitimate team. No.
I think the respect is there. I'm not even talking about respect. I even said this maybe 3 weeks ago. The Galaxy are respected. They're not feared. Number one, they need to be feared. I don't think they're – I think they made a stronger case for themselves this past week, but I don't think they're quite there yet. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about respect. I think the entire league respects us now. The difference is we're not elite. I don't even think we're elite. The fact that we're in first place and second place in Support Shield, I still don't think we're in the upper echelon of elite teams in MLS. I personally don't think that. But here's the thing. I don't care how early it is. In past iterations, pre-Klein era, maybe you didn't win MLS Cup, but everybody knew that the cup ran through us. And at the start of the next season, I don't care if the season hadn't started yet, you knew the Galaxy were the favorites and the cup ran through us. That is my criteria. You don't have to win it for me to say we're back. We just have to be in that upper echelon, we're saying, that says the Galaxy are favored to win MLS Cup. The way that they're playing, the way that, you know, the way the players that they have, the way they're performing, everything around them, we are favored. This could happen in July and August. But for me, I think I probably along the lines of next season. Are we favored before we even played a game? That's when I know we'll back.
Yeah, I think what you're really saying in a very long-winded way is we have to actually have 2 or 3 championships
in the bag. No, not at all. No. Because that's another flaw that in the we have to win a title in order to say we're back. Because again, if hypothetically,
that's the only way that the league is going to see us and recognize that they have to go through us
again. If hypothetically, the Galaxy,
we have to have the cup in order to go through us.
We have to have the cup in order for them to get through us.
That's fair. That's fair. You guys are actually correct in that assessment. Yes. We can't say the cup goes through us unless at one point we have to have it.
So Lewis, the year you're talking about,
win it multiple times. We have to actually win it.
No, I actually,
maybe not multiple times.
No, in this
the years that Lewis is talking about is 2009, 2010, 2011, 12, all the way to 14.
Yes, but even before we
ran through us.
No, but even before we won our first title,
was going to be favored. They had to go through the Galaxy to get to that
MLS Cup final. And we were always a formidable foe. And don't say 2008, because no, we weren't. Don't say 2007, because no, we weren't. 2006, we weren't. We barely made it in 2005. It was in those years. It was that Beckham years that you're talking about. But even before
we won our first title between 96 and 2001, you knew that we were going to be an MLS Cup and it was ours to lose. You knew that. We had a tough game against DC United, but you knew that in 98 we blew it. In 2001 we blew it. In 96 we blew it. And it does take some time to get there. And maybe you do need at least one title. But to say that you need to win in today's MLS, you guys have to agree that it is significantly harder to do now than it was 10 years ago.
That's also why you have to own the cup before it can run through you. Somebody else can go through you to get it
But you also got to show that you can hold the cup.
Yes. But you also, there's no right, team, but that's
I
don't hard. Think
there's any team right now. I wouldn't say there's any team right now in the last 3 years that you have to say, oh, you have to get rid of this team if you want to win MLS Cup. Because nobody's repeated MLS Cup since we did it, right? What was the last repeat MLS Cup that we had?
It was us, 11-12.
Oh, the 11-12 Galaxy.
Or the 2011, 2012.
That was the last repeat
cup. That was the last.
So there's no one that you could say that owns that road to MLS Cup. So
that's fair, I think because it's harder to do, and since we haven't had a repeat champion since 11 and 12, in today's MLS, I mean, at some point, someone is going to win back-to-back again. It's going to be very difficult, but they're going to do it at some point. But to say that you need to win back-to-back titles to say that we're back is kind of
the standards of you're saying that we're the echelon of like you have to run through us to win the cup. In order for that to happen, we have to actually win the cup, hold the cup, and show the league that they have to run through us. We can't just have one off and be like,
we can't be like, okay, we got to the Western Conference Final. Well, okay,
we're not agreeing.
No.
Saying that this is
so, I would say Seattle might have the other case where you can go. You have to get through Seattle to get to to the cup, right? But everybody else, I think it's just been a mishmash since then. So, you know,
which is why I feel like
I get what you're saying, Lewis. But we need to hold the cup. So, well, okay. So let me ask you something semi-related, and then we can wrap up. We didn't even do who is the best player in
we'll do it. We'll do it right now. We'll do it real quick.
It was Ricky. But let me
we'll do it quick.
Okay. Let me ask you guys this before we move to that. Is this team built for or capable? Is this team capable of no? Is this team built for a knockout style tournament like League's Cup? Is that in the cards for the Galaxy?
They can get there, but nowhere, not now.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Are we specifically talking League's Cup, or are you talking playoffs? Yeah.
League's Cup. Let's talk League's Cup first. Are we built for that tournament?
Oh, by the time League's Cup comes?
Yeah, yes. This year's League's Cup.
I say yes. Again, it all depends on what Vanny does and how he handles rotations leading into the cup and what's happening between injuries or fatigue or whatever it might be in the
managing
air.
Yeah, managing minutes.
But
running paint still to the ground.
But if it's this team that's starting, you know, probably this Sunday, you know, this A team that we're gonna usually see in the next few games, if it's this team at that point, and if they've been refined and they're healthy, yes, we should be at the final.
Oh. Honestly, I don't know because it hasn't been put to the test yet. I kind of want to agree with Bobby here because theoretically, you should be hitting your stride around that time, right? You should be making, if you're going to make a play somewhere, it should be in July, August, September. By the time the League's Cup rolls around, which is in July, August?
July.
So by the time that rolls around, I want to say that you're hoping that the Galaxy would have peaked. You also would have hoped that they maintained their position somewhere near the top three in the Western Conference. So now, as far as a knockout round, the fact that this team can score, yeah, I think I have to agree with Bobby. I think they're capable.
I think if we do well in Link's Cup and we make a deep run in that tournament, then I think you can start having the conversation of whether or not they're capable of getting to and maybe winning MLS.
Well, it also depends on how much stock you want to put into League's Cup. Now, we did see that last year, it seemed that the MLS teams put a lot of stock into them. I think they were also given the choice.
I think more stock is getting put into League's Cup this year, to be honest with you.
Right, no, and I agree, because like my statement that I was going to say, obviously it's a choice that the teams have to make. But with MLS pointing a gun to their head, telling them make a choice.
But it's pretty obvious that the Galaxy were not ready to be competitive.
Well, last year. We know what transpired last year. And we were definitely not – forget about not being prepared. We were just not there as a team. And keep in mind that our injuries were already started. That's exactly the tournament that we lost Brugman to.
We lost him before that.
Yeah. So again, this is where the injuries started. So again, last year with the injuries, with the whole boycott, with everything that surrounded this, you can kind of say, fine, that year was a wash. And you can see how this team is being resurrected this year. This year,
after the tournament, we actually did kind of well. Remember, we floated in 13th place for a good while.
Unbeaten in 13. This year, we have in the League's Cup, we have San Jose, which we know we can beat, and we have Chivas. And two of the three teams will go through. I can't imagine that we're not one of the two teams. So obviously we're going to, it very much seems that we would be in the knockout stages, something that we did not do last season. And if it's a one-off and we're going to be at home, obviously, unless we're playing an East Coast team somewhere in the knockout round and it's an MLS side, we're going to be hosting. We should do fine. Because we're not hosting, because we're one of the poor teams, even the game against Chivas is officially being as an away game, that Chivas is officially the home team in that game. Because last year we were the group seed.
Because they know they're going to sell more tickets.
We're talking about seedings. It has nothing to do with how many fans are in attendance. Officially, the Galaxy cannot "quote unquote" host. They are not one of the seeds, so it's not officially a home game, and they will never have a home game officially. So they can host as long as, like, if they're playing another Mexican team, just by definition, that the tournament is being held in the States, they will host. But they probably would not be, you know, considered officially the home team. They play another MLS side, chances are they have to go travel. That's probably where your Achilles is in that tournament, that you're probably going to have to play away from home more often than not. But considering the fact how the first five road games have gone, that doesn't seem to be a problem for the Galaxy. But I just think with this offense, in a knockout stage like that, I kind of agree with Bobby. I think you can make a deep run. I really do. I think you can make a deep run.
And I think Vanny and the team in general is going to put a lot of stock into this tournament too.
Right.
I think they're going to put a lot of stock in everything, to be honest. I just hope we don't run our guys to the ground.
Again, that's right. The only thing. I mean, this under the assumption that we stay healthy. Yeah. That's pretty much, and let's be honest, as of right now, we have been. We have suffered no injuries through 2 months. Jalen Neal was out before the season started, so that doesn't really count. We have not suffered a new injury. So, you know, you kind of have to keep hoping that this continues. I think at some point you're going to suffer injuries. It's just inevitable. It's just part of the game. You're just hoping that it's not long-term, and you're hoping that it's not a very, you know, you hope JP doesn't go down. You hope Pooj doesn't go down, right? You're probably hoping that Jovic doesn't go down. And if they do, you're hoping it's for like a week or two at the most. You know, you're hoping that it's not season ending. You're hoping that it's not long term.
Yeah.
Let's just all
positive vibes to
a good year. And again, it just kind of seems everything that could be going right for the Galaxy seemed to be going right for the Galaxy. You can tell that the vibes are changing, the culture's changing, and you know. Everything right now is coming up roses, even when it doesn't seem like it. The Galaxy have found a way. Maybe they're not playing well, and yet they only have one loss the entire season. You know, they're not playing well, and they had a tough schedule playing, you know, five road games, and yet you lost one of them, won three of them. That is pretty incredible. That is unheard of. By the way, that victory against Vancouver, that third road win, that surpasses last year's total. They won two games all of last year, and they did it through eight games, through five road games. That's like uncanny to me. There is we sensed it in after week one when you said it, Bobby. Like there's something there. There's a showtime here. There is something different about this team. There is something different about this team, and it is materializing. And to my surprise, it's materialized a lot sooner than I thought. I thought maybe again it would take a while for them to mesh, and no, they're all in. They're, you know, Paintsill is 100% all in on this. Pooj is all in on this. Yoshida, Yamani, they are all in on this. Jovic is all in on this. They're all going in the same direction. Peck and it's showing.
Fagun is definitely in
on everything. I think everyone is headed in. They're all on the same page. There's no distraction. They all have their focus on the same thing, and nothing is at the moment distracting them. Even they say, okay, how do they respond to their first loss? Boom, I'm going to come back and regain first place. Like nothing. Like this team is different. This team is definitely different. Let's go ahead and talk about a little bit more details of the game. So who is your highest rated player in this game?
I'm going to have to give it to Pooj because, I mean, he has to get these.
It's either Pooj or Paintsill.
I thought this was pretty easy. It's Paintsill by a lot. He had a goal and he had an assist. He also earned Team of the Match Week or Match Day, Match whatever. He was on there. You know, congrats to him. It's well-deserved. I thought that this was by far the easiest. It was a very easy answer for me. I didn't even think Pooj was really in that conversation. I'm not saying he had a bad game. I thought he had a good game. But I just thought Paintsill was by far 100% like going to get the highest rated player, and it wasn't even close. Who was the second highest rated player?
Well, going Jovic because of the goal.
McCarthy.
It is Pooj. Like I said, he didn't have a bad game.
Jesus Christ, Lewis.
But he's still quite a distance. So Paintsill is at 8.9. And
read Pooj a whole dissertation as to why.
No, I had a whole dissertation as to why Paintsill was by far number one.
Yeah, but it felt like you switched the cups. Yeah, you're like this one, right? And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, no. It was the one you thought before.
You idiot. Hey, my fault. You guys fell for the trick.
I didn't mean this blind.
Painsa was at 8.9 and Pooge at second place was at 8.0. So there's still a pretty good distance between those. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Third highest?
Oh, I don't know now.
We don't play with you.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Just say it.
Lowest rated player then. Yeah, this was a little tough.
This is kind of tough.
This one is tough. I honestly had no idea where to go.
Yamane.
I would say Yamane for the card.
Yeah.
Then I want to do McCarthy for the goal because they really give you a lot of points.
For the goal,
a lot of points for goals. On
yeah, but then he had that crazy save that he did that he caused. Yeah,
but
then
he gave it up. So. Jesus, I don't know. I'm feeling McCarthy.
Cáceres.
Cáceres.
Leave my homie alone.
Cáceres at 6.6. He was the lowest rated player out of anyone. Who was the second lowest rated player?
All right, I'll go back to Yamane.
Yeah, Yamane.
It is Yamane at 6.8. Yeah, so the as far as top three, Painsa Pooge, the next one is Jovalich. He had the goal. He was at 7.6. The third lowest was Brugman at 7.1, so still pretty decent. McCarthy was at 7.2, Yoshida at 7.2, Delgado also at 7.2, Peck and Aude at 7.3. So obviously some pretty good score, some pretty good ratings for the Galaxy. As I said, I don't think they played bad. I don't think they played great, but I thought the victory was pretty good. You go on the road, yeah. You could score three. You know, maybe you don't play perfection for 90 minutes, but you were definitely effective when you needed to be. Let's go ahead and look at the stats. So obviously possession in the Galaxy's favor, it went down from 85 to 15 to 60-40. So that happened mostly in the second half when after the Galaxy scored, Vancouver had to go out and look for the game. Shots, 19 to 13, the edge goes to Vancouver. I don't remember this except for maybe two. Yeah. Yeah, 19 shots. I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't remember that many shots being taken. McCarthy, by the way, had 7 saves. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So, but I don't ever remember being like in that much danger. When the goal dropped, I think we all kind of saw it coming because it was corner after corner after corner again. Vancouver was pressing. And I'm like, dude, one of these is going to go in. We don't defend these well.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, yes, it goes in and you're like, oh, there it is. Okay. But guess what? I'm not down on this team because they're going to get the ball back and they just need one. Sure enough. But I just don't remember 19 shots. And even more so, I don't remember. I can think of two. Maybe three. Four big chances for Vancouver. They missed all of them. One was in the first half. And I want to say this was a big chance. I'm not really sure if it is. One was in the first half. It was on a counter. The shot went wide. And that was probably the only time in the first half where I was like, wow, they're going to get freaking scored on. They deserve to get scored on, but they're going to get scored on. But the guy shot it just wide. McCarthy didn't even have to make a save. I forgot who took the shot. Might have been Picoult. I don't remember. But that was the only time in the first half where I was kind of rattled. In the second half, obviously the McCarthy hiccup, I think, was probably a big chance, even though he was still pretty far out. But it was still like, dude, you should have scored. And I can't think of anything else, but apparently there were four big chances that Vancouver missed. 13 shots for the Galaxy, 5 big chances. They missed two of them. I gotta imagine one was the post. That was from Peck's header, I believe. That was
the
early
right side of Peck's head.
It was actually the left side of his head. By the way, kudos to Peck for using his right foot in this game. Two big chances missed. So again, I think maybe one's the Peck. I can't think of the other. No, because he didn't get a shot off. I can't think of the other one. Anyways, seven shots on target for Vancouver. As I said, seven saves from McCarthy. 13 shots for the Galaxy and five were on target for the Galaxy. The expected goals, once again, this is interesting because, again, I don't remember this. 2.46 for the Galaxy, 2.39 for Vancouver. So their expected goals were pretty high. And again, I don't really remember anything that was very like blatant, like, ooh, were we ever in any real danger, with the exception of obviously the goal that was scored, the first half counterattack, and it was just that one. And then in the dying minutes when the game was already over, that guy just missed from point blank range. That's the only other time, and by that time it didn't really matter, because even if you score, we're still going to win 3-2. I don't know how he missed that, by the way. But 2.39, which I thought was pretty high, and I think that was the highest expected goals allowed from the Galaxy since the St. Louis game, if I recall. I just don't remember it. I don't remember ever being in that much danger, because I thought, like, obviously the Galaxy controlled the entire first half, even though there was no offense. And then after Vancouver scores their goal, the Galaxy were in control the rest of the way. So I kind of don't know where, you know, this is coming from. By the way, the goal that Vancouver scored was, it happened in the 77th minute. We scored in the 80th and then the 82nd. So it was very, very quick. But the game was practically over, and the Galaxy controlled the game for the final 15 minutes. So overall, I thought the Galaxy were still the better side. There was a patch where, again, Vancouver had momentum. They scored, but it just propelled the Galaxy to, you know, pick you apart. The expected goals in the first half, I mean, obviously there was hardly any offense coming in. But again, this wasn't a good look for the Galaxy, despite the fact that they had a 75-25% edge in possession. 0.26. 0.26 with 75% possession. And yeah, I mean, there's like not really any bite there. I think Peck's shot was like the closest, the one like that had to be saved. And that expected goal was 0.07. I mean, it's pretty low. In contrast, Vancouver, with only 25% possession, had expected goal in the first half of 0.5. So in that sense, it's like, well, again, you didn't have the ball, but you did what you could when you did. And maybe you can make a case that, hey, this was Vancouver's plan and they were the better team because they're the ones that executed said plan. And they almost got away with it, right?
Almost.
But then they didn't. So, yeah, stat-wise, it is kind of a weird game, because you could even make the case that the Galaxy's was pretty high. Where's the goal from Paintsill? Where is that? Paintsill's goal, I thought was – yeah, hold on. Let me see. There it is. Okay, so even – yeah, I mean, it's pretty high. Paintsill's goal is at 0.62. Jovalich's tap-in is at 0.77. And Fagundes' goal is 0.41. That's a good majority of your expected goals right there. At the very least, you're making the most of your chances here. Obviously, shout out to Diego Fagundes, who joins the 70-70 club. He scores the 70th goal. He has 70 assists as well in his MLS career, so congrats to him. And he is now looking forward to 80-80, and we're really, really, really hoping that he does that this season and not next. Jovetic finds the back of the net after two games of not scoring, and it's at the top of the golden boot race. He's tied with like four or five other guys. I think that's kind of interesting. But Jovetic doing what? Yeah, it is. But Jovetic doing is what he's supposed to be doing: cleaning up the garbage, tapping in. You know, the goals, they count the same. You know, yes, he's a tap-in merchant, but they still count. They still count the same way. This, I think it's, I don't remember. No, it's Peck. It's Peck who takes the shot. It's saved, and then Jovetic is there like, yeah. Thank you very much, and I'm just going to go ahead and take this goal there. But
I think he kind of turned around like, nothing easier than that.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, look what I found.
Yep. Look. Yep. Check this guy. Look. Check this out. So there's that, and then Payne's still already being talked about the MVP. It's and we're only in April, and it's a lot of good things happening for the Galaxy. Now you have the games coming up. On Sunday, it's a Sunday game. I don't know why it sucks. Sunday, they play San Jose, the 100th edition of the Cali Clásico, a game that 100. A game that I'm assuming that the Galaxy are going to be heavily favored to win. The following week, they travel to Austin. This is one of those weird games. They start at 10:45. So one of those morning games that Bobby's like, oh, everyone's going to be, you know, tired and sleepy. Kind of a weird start time. That rounds up the first 10 games. By the way, if you assume that the Galaxy win in San Jose, or against San Jose, and assume that the Galaxy win in Austin, which again, I'm assuming that the Galaxy would be favored to win that game. If everything plays out the way it's supposed to play out, It would be the first time that Greg Vanney has won three games in a row as Galaxy head coach, which is also kind of crazy. So it's there. He's already broken that I cannot beat Peter Vermees thing. This might be the time to do the I have not won three games in a row. So again, everything is kind of going in the Galaxy's direction. Things that were not falling into place, even the year that they were doing well in that first half, you know, hey, you win this game, you're in first place. And then they draw or they lost. Well, they regained first place twice, right? So again, this team is different. So there's a lot of good things happening for the Galaxy. That rounds like I said, after the Austin game, those are 10 games played. You have the potential to stay in first place if you to win those two games. And I don't think any of us had that on our bingo cards starting the season. No, that they would be in first place after 10 games. None of us had that. So again, credit where credit is due. So the first 10 games out of the way, your next challenge begins. The schedule does let up a little bit in May. However, you're playing six games in May. So you're going to have some midweek games. So for the first time, there's going to be squad rotations. And how does Vanney and company handle that? So that is going to be the next challenge in the next month. And of course, once June comes in, well, you start getting into the dog days of MLS, right? And then you have Leagues Cup. So there are new challenges that will await this Galaxy. Obviously, they have past that first one with flying colors. I don't think anyone's going to take that away from them. They shouldn't take anything away from them. And then, of course, a very congested May schedule. We'll see how this plays out. But so far, so good for the Galaxy. Everything is looking up. And as we have stated in the past, we hope that they're consistent in this good trend, and so far they have been. So 2 months in, and you know, not a bad job, guys. So let's go ahead and keep this going. As I said, you've got the Cali Clásico coming up. I think, again, this is a dead rivalry. I don't think that they're rivals anymore. I don't even think there's any buzz for this game.
I think it's because it's the 100th right now, and because we're back, you know.
Oh, we're back. Woo, we're back.
No, but you know what I
mean. That changed real quick.
The cup runs through us,
yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Now the cup's running through us, damn it. but you know, I think it's gonna be a pretty high attendance game. I think a lot of people are gonna be there. I know Sunday sucks for most people, but
it's an early kickoff, right? It's a 4 o'clock. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff.
It's five.
5 o'clock kickoff,
and more than likely, it's probably more than likely 5:30.
Yeah.
Oh geez. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a weird time, but yeah, I mean. Yeah, I took the day off, so I'm gonna get there early.
Yep. Yeah. Are you guys tailgating for that, or are you guys just showing up, or what are you guys doing?
Dad wants to do too.
Yeah, so we have a kind of a crazy day on Sunday, so I don't know what time we're gonna be there. Okay. Probably close to game time. Not super close, but you know,
I'm most likely gonna get there early, but I don't know if I'm gonna be tailgating, like cooking or making anything. I might just be hanging out and grabbing food.
Yeah. There's always that pizza place that we can hit up, Bobby.
Yeah, that's
it. And Lewis. Yeah. Lewis can always have pizza waiting for us when we get there.
Yeah.
He could, but.
Well, I know I'm working. I'm working. Okay, I have.
Show. We don't have to make schedules here. All right, guys.
All right. Thank bye, everybody.
This is episode 328. Say goodbye.
Go visit Lewis at his work on Sunday.
But please don't do that. I beg you, please don't do that.
All right, guys.
Madam, I'm looking at you.
Bye, 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 bye.